get to be with you all tonight. This Wednesday night service has been a great blessing to me and our family, and Union Church holds a very special place in our hearts. So we're very thankful to be here tonight. I appreciate the good humble prayer and just ask that you continue to pray as we stand before you, realizing that the preaching of the gospel is truly a miracle indeed. If you have your Bibles, I'll invite you to turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. And I'd like to pick up in verse 26. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. It said, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." The Lord's got a way of letting his ministers know what they need to do. In this particular case, an angel of the Lord told Philip where he needed to go. And I'm confident that as we seek the Lord has a way of letting us know the things that we need to do. What the angel of the Lord instructs Philip to do is something that may have would have not made good human sense to Philip. Why would he go toward the south into a way that goeth down from Jerusalem, which is desert? Philip had just been blessed to preach to a bunch of Samaritans and had been blessed by God to do some great miracles with some multitudes. But now the Lord has instructed him to go in a very desert place. That may have not made sense to Philip's human mind. But we see that because the Lord told him to do it, says in verse 27, and he arose and went. We ought always to do what the Lord tells us to do, whether it makes any sense to us or not. I'm reminded of a time in Luke chapter 5 where the Lord Jesus had been preaching in the boat of the apostle Peter. And after he finished his preaching, he tells Peter, he said, launch out your boat into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Peter says, Lord, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Peter and his other fishing partners that were very skilled in the art of fishing had toiled all the night. They had gone to the blessed places they needed to go to. They had used all the expertise that they had. And they had done the very best that they could, and they had caught absolutely nothing that night. And it made no sense in Peter's professional fishing mind to launch out into the deep and let down his nets. But for one thing, and that is the Lord said, do it. Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Peter let down the net, and the Bible said he enclosed a multitude of fishes, so much that he called his partners, and they filled both Peter's boat and his partner's boat so much that even with both boats being utilized, the boats began to sink from the abundant catch of fish that the Lord had blessed. Peter realizes his frailty and his unworthiness before a Lord as powerful as that. He said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I don't think Peter really wanted the Lord to depart, but he simply felt so unworthy to be in his presence that the Lord would take notice of him. But Peter did what the Lord said, even though it may not have made sense to him. Philip here does the same. He goes right to that desert place, where an unusual place for a preacher to go. But Philip goes. It says, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, the first time an angel of the Lord told Philip what he needed to do. Now the Spirit of the Lord is speaking unto Philip and says, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. Now I want us to get the picture. Here's a man of great authority. Here's a man that's in charge, not just of some of the treasure of the queen of the Ethiopians, but he's in charge of all the treasure. He's a man of great authority. He's an important man. And he's sitting in his chariot. And the Lord tells Philip, you go join yourself to the chariot. The Bible says he ran quickly to join himself. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's another thing that to a human mind may not make sense. It's not always a good idea from a human perspective to run towards someone of great authority quickly. I'm reminded of a time my brother works now for the United States Marshal Service, but years ago, he worked for the United States Secret Service. And there was a time where President George W. Bush came into town. And when a president comes into town, the Secret Service is going to give the inside protection and the inside of perimeters. And usually local law enforcement will give the protection on the outside. So the Mississippi Highway Patrol was helping secure the outside perimeter to make sure the president was safe. One thing I've observed when the president comes to town, a lot of the local law enforcement would get very nervous because they don't want anything to happen to the president while he's in our town. My brother with Secret Service was doing what's called counter surveillance. And he was supposed to be looking out for anybody that was watching the president. He was supposed to spot him. He got a little bit closer to the president's motorcade than he normally would have. And that caused a captain on the Mississippi Highway Patrol to order two troopers to stop them and check them out. Well, the two troopers decided that meant they should do a felony car stop. And so they beat in ahead of my brother's vehicle, not knowing it was Secret Service, and came out with guns drawn, pointed in my brother's face. My brother said that was one of the scariest times he's been when he's trying to get out and reach his credentials so he can identify himself. I'm Secret Service. But sometimes it's not a good idea from a human perspective to rapidly approach to a high-ranking official who's traveling on a deserted road. But Philip, again, does what may not make sense to him, and he obeys the commandment of the Lord. And you know what? Everything turns out just fine. When we do what the Lord says do, even if it may not make sense to us, if we do what the Lord says do, everything is going to be okay. He runs thither to the chariot. And he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, which is a New Testament way of saying Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? One of the things about this Ethiopian, he was not ashamed of the word of God. He was not just reading it to himself, but he was reading it out loud where others could hear. He was not ashamed of God's word, of the Holy Scriptures. And I would to God, we'd never be ashamed of his word. Wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves, whether it be in the halls of schools or in the halls of government, that we might never be ashamed of thus saith the Lord. Here the Ethiopian is reading the prophet Isaiah out loud. And Philip asked him a question, understandest thou what thou readest? And he, that is the Ethiopian, this man of great authority, said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. This Ethiopian was a humble man. He didn't act like he had all the answers. He didn't act like he didn't need any help. But he admitted he didn't understand what he was reading and said, I need some help. and the Lord blessed him to have help. You know, if we want to learn things, the good way to do it is to ask questions. And this Ethiopian was willing to ask questions of the man of God of things that he didn't understand. And I'm going to tell you, I think I can speak for all the ministers here that are on this call that we love to get questions from the little sheep of God. It's an encouragement to us when we get questions. And as we read the Word of God, we need to try to understand it. The Bible says when the Lord Jesus was telling the parable of the sower, and right before that he talks about if someone understands it and they're converted, he said, and I should heal them. There's a healing that can take place when we know and understand the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. It's a healing to our souls. And he looked in the place of the scripture which he read was this, and he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. His humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Whatever scripture we look at in the Word of God, we need to be looking at it, something about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He was in an Old Testament book, in the book of Isaiah, but that chapter was all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, little child of God, from the beginning of the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, all the way to the last chapter in the book of Revelation, this book is about our Lord, our Savior, our Master and our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about him. He used that same scripture where the Ethiopian eunuch was, and he preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of a story I once heard of two ministers that were in England. And a younger minister had gotten up to preach, and he had preached a sermon and thought he had done made a pretty good effort, and he sat down looking for the older minister to give him some kind of compliment and some kind of encouragement. The old minister didn't say anything. And the young minister, he couldn't hardly stand it and finally asked him, he said, well, what'd you think of my sermon? And the old minister said, I didn't think much of it. And he said, why? What was wrong with it? And the old minister said, there was no Jesus Christ in it. The young minister said, well, the verses I was on, I didn't think it had anything to do with Jesus Christ. The old minister said, you don't yet know how to preach. And he said, we're in the country of England. And in England, there are many roads and there are many pathways. But he said, all of them lead to London. And he said, every scripture in the Bible leads to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the young minister says, well, what if I'm in a passage and I just don't see the Lord Jesus in it? And the old minister said, I've been preaching for a long time, and I've never found such a text as you mentioned. But he said, if I ever feel like I do, he said, I'm going to travel over stream and river and mountain and valley till I get to my Savior and my Lord. As I preach the gospel, I'll find Jesus in the scriptures. He preached Jesus to him where he was. He was in that Isaiah chapter 53. He said he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shearer, so opened he not his mouth. When the Lord Jesus was falsely accused, Pilate was amazed that he wouldn't defend himself. Pilate was amazed that the Lord Jesus wouldn't say anything. He said, do you not hear all they witness against you? The Lord Jesus stayed dumb. That is, he wasn't speaking. He didn't refute the allegations, although he was falsely accused. That's very, very unusual. An innocent man that's been falsely accused is just about always going to try to defend himself and say, look, I didn't do that. You've got the wrong man. A lot of times guilty folks will do that. I remember one guy appearing in front of a federal judge, and my job as a U.S. probation officer, he appeared in front of a federal judge, and the judge says, how do you plead, guilty or not guilty? Well, the guy was guilty, but he tells the judge, he said, Your Honor, I'm 100% not guilty. He tried to defend himself even when he was guilty, but an innocent man will almost always speak in their defense and say, look, you've got the wrong person. But the Lord Jesus didn't do that. It's because he was coming to freely lay down his life for us. He was the good shepherd that was going to give his life for the sheep, and he freely laid it down. He didn't resist this very unjust mockery of a court that had been laid against him, but he willingly went to the cross of Calvary. Because he had a job to do there. We continue to read. It said in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? It says in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. That word humiliation means he was humbled, means the Lord Jesus was placed in the lowest state. He took all of my sins and your sins and all the elect family of God's sin upon himself on that cross of Calvary. And he suffered the judgment of every single sin in 6 hours there upon the cross. Can you imagine? Every single sin of every single one of the elect family of God that's ever lived or ever shall live, he suffered that. He suffered the equivalent of an eternity in hell for all the elect family of God in those 6 hours upon the cross. His humiliation, his judgment was taken away. He satisfied the judgment of God. He finished the work of redemption. And when the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is finished, all the judgment was gone because he had suffered the penalty for the judgment of every single one of the elect family of God. So that when Jesus said, it is finished, all that family was legally and totally righteous and justified in the sight of God the Father. His humiliation judgment was taken away. The judgment that I deserved and that you deserve, it was taken away when Jesus humbled himself on the cross of Calvary. Said, who shall declare his generation? Who shall declare his family? For his life was taken from the earth. The Lord Jesus there died for his family there. We go to one verse back there in Isaiah chapter 53. It has some unusual words there. It says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. How could it please the Lord to bruise his precious and only begotten son? It pleased the Lord to bruise him, for he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It pleased the Lord to bruise him because Jesus got the job done that he had gone to the cross to do. It pleased the Lord to bruise him because everything Jesus did on the cross, it prospered in his hand, and he won a victory against sin, Satan, hell, and death that we could never, ever win. He won it. And he could see his seed, as we just read on the cross. That word seed means his family. He could see all the elect family of God there when he died for us all on that cruel tree. Because of what he did, we're all blessed to be in the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're blessed to be in the family of God. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, Of whom speaketh the prophet this, or himself some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. We don't know what all Philip may have preached to him, but I'll tell you, he preached unto him the victory of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he preached unto him that he was part of the very family of God. Though he was an Ethiopian from a far country, the Lord had revealed something to him. The Lord, by his providential blessing, had sent Philip to the Ethiopian and had blessed the Ethiopian to receive Philip. You know, that's kind of amazing that a strange man would just run up to the chariot of this man of great authority, and the man of great authority say, come on in the chariot with me. How many high dignitaries would do that? Or would they say, arrest this man, see what this man's trying to do? But I'll tell you, the Lord's got a way of working on both ends of the stick. He sent Philip, the minister of the gospel, to preach the good news unto this born-again little child of God, this Ethiopian from a foreign land, because the Lord loved him. Philip will go to this man and preach the gospel. Then Philip's going to be caught away by the Spirit. The only thing Philip did on that desert road was to preach the gospel to one little sinner that needed to hear the truth of the Lord Jesus. It's a precious reminder that Jesus loves every one of God's little children, and he'll go out and lead the 99 sheep in the fold and go out till he finds that one little lost sheep that needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and he'll bless him to hear it. As they went on their way, they came unto the certain water, and the eunuch said, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, you believe in the Lord Jesus, I've preached unto you. If you believe the truth and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary that I've preached unto you, if you believest with all thine heart, it's not a half-hearted decision to be baptized and to join the church of the Lord Jesus. But he said, if you come with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, he said, you can be baptized. The Ethiopian responded and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What a wonderful response this Ethiopian had. He didn't say, let me think about this for 5 years or 10 years, and if I thought about it and if I feel I'm ready, then I'll be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. No. But he hears the good news of his salvation. He realized that he's embraced in this generation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's embraced in the seed and the family of God. And he said, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He's immediately obedient. They both went down, said, and when they came up out of the water, showing that water baptism is a baptism where you're immersed and you're totally under the water. They came up out of the water. They weren't sprinkled. It wasn't poured on them, but they both came up out of the water. They were immersed as the Lord Jesus was when he was baptized. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. The Lord sent this gospel minister for one Ethiopian eunuch that he might hear the good news. He loves every one of his little children. Said, then Philip was found at Azotus, which probably was caught away at least 15 miles away. I thought, wouldn't it be nice, ministers, if we're on a preaching trip, the Lord would just catch us away and we could be back at home. But what did the eunuch do? He didn't see Philip anymore. But I'll tell you, I don't think he quit seeing the Lord Jesus Christ all the rest of his days. Instead, Philip went on his way rejoicing. I mean, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing in the good news that he had heard, that he was a child of the King, that Jesus had died for his sins on the cross of Calvary, and that heaven and immortal glory would be his home. And he went on his way rejoicing. He went back to Ethiopia rejoicing. What a blessing. Do you think this Ethiopian had problems? I'm going to tell you, when you're in a great leadership position, a lot of times the toughest problems come to you. The easiest problems don't get to the leaders of agencies. He's the top treasurer in all the kingdom. But he likely had a bunch on his plate. He likely had problems. But I'll tell you, none of those problems mattered. When he had heard the good news of Jesus Christ, he went on his way rejoicing. I'll tell you, we got a lot of things going on in the world, a lot of mixed up things going on. But I'll tell you, little child of God, we got every bit of reason to rejoice as this Ethiopian eunuch. May we rejoice in the good news of Jesus Christ. May we rejoice in the precious truth that we're a child of the King. Jesus died for our sins, and heaven and immortal glory will be our home. May God richly bless you, is my prayer.